The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Good to see you.
Good morning.
Woo! Amen. Hey, Kelly.
Hey.
Hello. Well, we've made it again. Another week. Hallelujah. It's Sunday morning. Churches around America and around the world are celebrating this wonderful thing called Sunday morning. So we love you, Lord, and we thank you for letting us be here and being a part of what you're doing around the world. And Father, let your Holy Spirit hover over us, restore us, encourage us, build us up on our most holy faith. Father, let our worship be pleasing to you. Let it be a sweet-smelling savor in the very throne room of God. Let our worship join in with the cherubim who cease not to cry out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And Father, we want to join in with that choir in heaven. And dear Lord, let the word of God as spoken from this pulpit and pulpits throughout the world that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, let it be poignant. Let it pierce the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and let lives be changed because of the living word of God that is proclaimed throughout the world. We thank you, Father, and we praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's worship the Lord.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison and shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles.
You can feel it, somebody testify. Reading to Ro on the way to church this morning, the beginning of Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. I have that scripture on the door to my children's bathroom so that every day when they walked out of the bathroom door on their way to school, they would see Psalm 20. We are still winners. We you know the scripture about how he leads us in a perpetual victory march. He's flying the flags of victory over us. Right, Pastor? He leads us forth in victory. So I want y'all to be encouraged today. I know we're doing this fast and a lot of things have come up in me, and God is helping me. He's leading me through. He wants those things to come to the surface so that we can give them up to him. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you'll be encouraged. We lift you up, Lord. As we lift up the Lord, he lifts us up. He lifts our spirits. Thank you, Lord. We lift you up.
Nations,
we let you
go.
God, book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of dry bones. And he caused me to pass around among them, and behold, they were very vast in the open valley or plain. And he said to me, Son of man, can these dry bones live? And I answered him, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter into you, and you shall live.
Lord. Yes.
And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath and spirit in you. And you, dry bones, shall live. And you shall know and understand and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, calling forth loyalty and obedient service. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise. And behold, a shaking and a trembling and a rattling. And the dry bones came together, bone to its bone. And I beheld, and lo, there were sinews upon the bones. Yes, and there came upon them that skin covered them. And there was breath and spirit in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath and the spirit, the Son of Man, and say to the breath and the spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath and the spirit came upon the bones, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet. Exceeding great hosts and exceeding great army. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up in the name of Jesus. And that's what we're going to sing about today. Dry bones will live. Hallelujah. There's an army rising up in Jesus' name to break every chain. Thank you, God.
There is power. There is power.
Thank you.
Isaiah of old, that we would see you, that we experience you, that we would enter into your great throne room in our spirit. Oh, Father, this world is a scary place, Lord, a lot of frightening things that go on day by day. But in your presence, there is peace. There is hope. There is eternal life. There is majesty and power and glory for all who enter in. And so, Lord God, we enter in today into your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord, this is the word of the Lord. Believe on me, and you will see the mighty works of my hands. For without faith it is impossible to please God. And those who would seek him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For Jesus himself is the author and the finisher of our faith. Do not hesitate. Do not hesitate, my children, to run to my presence, to run to the place where you know that I myself will strengthen you. I have spoken. My word does not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which pleases me, saith the Lord. Rejoice in me. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice, my people. Look to me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, with thanksgiving, with supplications, make your requests known to me. Make your requests known to me. Make your requests known to me. For you cry out, but many times you do not cry to me. I tell you this day, my children, call upon me, and I will answer thee. I will
answer thee. Make your supplication to me. And my peace, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart, will keep your mind in Christ Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the presence of his glory and grace. Set not your heart upon things of the earth, but set your affections upon things of the kingdom of God. Do not cast your confidence, my dear ones. Do not cast your confidence. I am worthy of your trust. If you have any doubt of my love for you, lift your eyes to the cross. Lift your eyes to the finished work of my Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life that you might live. In Jesus' name, I declare these things, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Miss Pat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. Great worship. Thank you, worship team. Great. That's good. It's good. Amen. Amen. We're going to change gears a little bit today and do things a little differently. Message has changed. In light of current events. So if all of you watching on Facebook and YouTube and Vimeo and the website, wherever you may be, we appreciate you tuning in. And I'd ask you stay tuned. I think the Lord has a word for us that will encourage us all. So Miss Sherry has something that she wants to share. So Sherry, why don't you come up here and we'll give you the mic and let you speak for a minute or two or three or four or five.
Morning, everyone. I have a story to tell you this morning. But before I tell you the story, I want you to remember we live in a fallen world and that we have a great enemy that tries to pull us in every direction but up. The story is of a 76-year-old woman who is still
part-time to help pay her bills. And she works part-time at two jobs. And even doing this, she pays a 20% tithe on all of her income. She was at work one night. She works at a coffee shop. And she was cutting lemons with a big butcher knife. When a man came into the shop, pushed her by her shoulder, and robbed her. In her purse was $1,000. Which she was carrying to pay back taxes on. She was taking it to get a money order. She was hoping to pay these off because IRS sent her another notice that she owed $2,000 for previous taxes on another year. Now this is what the world seen and heard from the story. I want to tell you now the godly portion of it. When the gentleman came in to rob her, he was a big, big man. The woman's not very big. When he pushed her, she could have landed on multiple counters and injured herself. He could have picked up that butcher knife and held it to her, threatening her or even harming her. She was on the phone when it occurred with a member of her church. They immediately notified the pastor, and a man outside the business called 911. The pastor was there before the police made it. She went to the emergency room, and all she had was a bruised shoulder. Before she left the emergency room, money had come in to pay for a new lock and keys for her car. The following day, they had prayer meeting, and the pastor told the people there about the circumstances. Within 30 minutes, they had raised $4,000 for this lady, not only to pay the money she lost, but to pay the other taxes that she was being made to pay. Help came from everywhere. Transportation till she could get her car back. The ease of things for getting Social Security, insurance, bank accounts changed went easy. This is just to show the faithfulness of our God and that He will work in all circumstances. I know this story is true because it happened to my mother.
Wow.
And she is still praising God today for His care and love. Thank you.
Pastor Morris?
Yes.
Can I say something that would back up what she said?
I'm sorry I can't stand this morning. My legs are hurting. The word the Lord gave me, as a matter of fact, He gave me quite a few words. But two things He said, unexpected and authority. Sister Pat, you said a few weeks ago, you feel big things are coming in 2021 with what the story that Sherry just shared. That's a very big thing. But being unexpected in the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ, which has covered her life and Sherry's life and all of our lives, there is great authority in His name, in His blood, and in the power of the word, remembering that we can overcome every enemy in the name of Jesus. As long as we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the blood of Jesus covers us and everything that we do, say, think, or do, but that we have the authority to use the three weapons, His name, His blood, and His word. Take this and make this your word for this year, because we are going to need it. I have been rereading the book of Revelation and reading the parts where all the wrath of God came upon situations and people, and yet how the devil persisted. But Jesus overcame it all. My prayer for this year, and it has been going on for quite some time, but I have taken the last few words of the book of Revelation and made it my daily prayer. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. We need you as a people. We need you as a land. My heart is broken over what has happened to our country. I love this country. Knowing my history, my family came from miles, thousands and thousands of miles away to this country for freedom, for religious freedom. My heart is broken, but yet my hope is in Him, because He is the only answer.
That's right.
For us and for everything that concerns us.
Yes.
So place your life this day for this year in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
covered in his precious blood. And I beg you, as my brothers and sisters in the Lord, remember the power in his name, the power in his blood, the power in his word. That is your answer to every need that you have and will have. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Rose. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good work. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, Sherry, your story about your mom reminds me of the scripture that says all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. It's not good what happened to your mom, but what the devil intended for evil, God turned to good. And that's where we all live. We live in a dangerous place, a dangerous world. Terrible things happen to good people. And yet, over and over again, God's people end up victorious in those things. So, good word. And your mom's, those of you who don't know her mother, she's a delightful woman, but she's a mighty warrior for God. I wouldn't want to tangle with her in the spirit realm. And she could take care of you. So, and I'm glad God took care of her, that what could have been horrific, God turned her around and made it something, such a good testimony. So that's the way our vision should be. I want to change tempo. You know, we're not fast, which is working for you. Remember that the day we end our fast, which will be a Sunday, we're going to have celebration Sunday. And so bring some testimonies, what God has done, spoken to you. They don't have to be giant miracles, but just maybe a sense of closeness to the Lord, maybe some things you've been praying about came to pass, maybe some hope generated within you that you didn't expect. Whatever it may be, I'd like to get some testimonies, and we'll also receive a special offering. Pat, I don't think this microphone is plugged in correctly. Can you check it and make sure it's plugged in? Pull it out and push it back in. Try it again. There it goes. That's better now. Okay. All this electronic gadgetry. So at any rate, we'll receive a special offering because Jesus said when you fast and when you pray, and we've been praying, and we've been having some great prayer meetings here on Wednesday night. Not everybody is here, but those who are here have been blessed. And it's been a good time. A dynamite, that's a good word. That's a good spiritual word. That's power. Dunamis. It's a power. And so he said to give. And so we're going to receive a special offering, which we do each year, put it into the work of the kingdom. But with that aside, we're changing gears because there's things going on in our world, and particularly in America, that are distressful for many people. The election didn't turn out the way many hoped that it would. And I guess I'm speaking mostly to the evangelical church folks, those who are watching on Facebook and other media online. A vast portion of the liberal world would not think this is a good message, but you will, all right? And a word of encouragement. And Jim, who is such a... Jim does so much that nobody knows about, but he's such a big help to me. And he looks and finds videos and things, and when he knows the topic of what I'm going to speak of in advance, he's always searching during the week and trying to find videos. And he found a video that unfortunately it's a little bit brief, but the message is powerful. So I think you will enjoy watching this. So Jim, you want to crank that up?
What will be left when it's all over? After all the mudslinging, all the insulting, all the lying, to which it seems we've set a new low. The day after the election, some will be left standing, others defeated. but we will all carry the wounds of fear, anxiety, hatred, distrust. In the wake of both triumph and pain, how do we move forward? Hope can't be found in the promises of broken people, but only in the sovereignty of a perfect God. He is not surprised by outcomes, and his purposes cannot be hindered. For this reason, we elect to put our hope in God, not a person. We elect to trust his certain plan, not our foolish ways. And we move forward believing God loves us, is in control, and is on the move.
Amen. I thought that was a very good video, and America's shaken, but the church is not shaken. I say that again. America is shaken, but the church is not shaken. And we're going to look at some scriptures this morning that I believe will encourage you. And first of all, in John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things. And Jesus has just gone through a litany of things that would be happening. He said, I've told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. If you want peace, Jesus is the only place to find it. In this world, you will have trouble. Some translations say tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we study this morning that you would build us up on our most holy faith, that you would teach us the things that we need to know, that we would be encouraged and not discouraged. We know that the letters dis, D-I-S, in front of anything is an evil deity from ancient times. And it takes a good word like courage and makes it discouraged. It's evil working. So, Father, I pray that we would hear your word and your truth this day, and that we would be encouraged in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The church is, and I want to talk primarily about the church this morning. The church is was birthed in times of trouble. Now, we read about it, and it sounds somewhat romantic, and we see movies, and it sounds looks a little, you know, like maybe it's a great time to be alive. It was a horrible time to be alive. Rome and the religious establishment were determined to destroy the church that was birthed at Jesus' resurrection. They were determined to end it all. They killed Jesus, God's only begotten son, because of what he said and what he did. They persecuted what they called the Way. Paul was a leader in that movement to try to destroy the church. They killed the apostles, killed the prophets. They killed the church members by the tens of thousands at the beginning. They would have killed more, but they couldn't find them all. But what happened was every time one fell, 10 rose up. And what looked like the end became the beginning. Where there was bloodshed, as Ms. Rose, you said, the blood of Jesus took over. And people, ordinary people, heard the message of Jesus and through the apostles and the early disciples, heard the message, and they reached out for this hope that was in Christ. For their world was filled with hopelessness. They set in motion decades of murder and destruction. And had I been there and looking at it as an interested observer, I'd say, this is just like everything else. It's just doomed to fail. It's got no hope. These people are nobodies from nowhere. Very few. In fact, Paul wrote, he said, look out among you and see there's not many wise, not many noble, not many of good report, but God has chosen the foolish things to confound the world. Well, how did they confound the world? By staying strong, not shaken, trusting God in the midst of all the horrible things that they did, they encountered. The church has a way of surviving hard times. There's something inside of a believer, the Holy Spirit, that gives us strength in the most perilous of times. It takes one of my heroes, heroines of contemporary times, it takes a relatively obscure woman, an unmarried woman, never been married, never did get married, and took her from obscurity and made a world-renowned speaker out of her. And that's Corrie Ten Boom. I wouldn't want to go what she went through, but she was forged in the fire and placed in the forefront so that the world would know what God can do. Amen. Despite all evil efforts, the church survived and thrived. Hope surpassed hardship, peace replaced despair, and life replaced death. And the church of the early age still remains today. We've experienced the loss of hope and peace in this election. Many of us have seen the clues and the forerunners for a lot of years now that America is in trouble. Let me tell you something about elections. The people who get elected in a society like ours are a reflection of society.
That's right.
What you see happening throughout our society is reflected in the men and women that get elected to office. Joe Biden, and I don't know Joe Biden, and he might be a great guy. He might be somebody to be fun to be with. I don't know. I don't know him, so I can't speak about him. I can't speak about Kamala Harris. I don't know her. But I know the things that they say and the things that they've done that lead me to believe that I probably wouldn't get along too well for too long if I was in a coffee shop with them. But our hope and our peace is not attached to Donald J. Trump. Sooner you realize that, the happier you'll be. I thank God for him. A lot of prophecies about him came up. We were excited about the things he did. He did some things that made me happy. Cut taxes. Hallelujah. You cut taxes, I'm a happy boy. You know? Thank you for that amen. You must be the only other one that was happy about that. When he sent money to us, I got those checks and we spent it all as quickly as we could to try to help our community. I want to stash it in the bank. I wanted to spend it in the community. He changed the economy of that we live in, drove the stock market to levels I didn't think were possible, had more business starts than ever before. Businesses that had moved offshore came back to the United States. Trillions of dollars of money made by corporations that were stored outside the United States came back because they reduced the taxes on it so low it was attractive to bring that money back into America. Jobs were made. We had the highest job level, the lowest unemployment ever in every sector of our economy. It was old happy days. It was heaven on earth for a while. But the vast majority of people, whether legally or illegally, however it was done, chose to put that aside and go for Joe Biden. So there's not much we can do about it at this moment. Now we can have a big pity party and we can get despondent and we can give up on politics and we can give up on God and give up on voting. We could do all those things, but it's not going to change it. I think it was Norman Schwarzkopf, the guy who led the battle in the Middle East, was being interviewed, and he said something I thought was really great. And it may be, if I'm not a military person, so it may be something military people say all the time, but he said, they questioned him about the army that he had and that he went to battle with, and he said, I don't go to war with the army I want to have, I go to war with the army I've got. And I think we need to realize that. We're going to go forward with what we have. And we're going to trust in the Lord, and we're going to be victorious, or we will be despondent and crushed and hopeless because we trusted in horses and chariots instead of trusting in the name of the Lord our God. We cannot, listen, I've been around the farm long enough now. One time I used to call myself a newbie in the Christian world, but I'm not a newbie anymore. I've been around the farm for a while, and I've seen all kinds of crazy things happen in the church, outside the church, in individual lives, in politics, and all that stuff. And I've discovered that all of those things wane and change and flow like the ebb of an ocean wave. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ remains solid. Pat will tell you this. It is me. This is what I've done. I don't go with every flow and everything, every new thing that pops up in the church and other places. I stick with the very core of my belief. That's in Jesus Christ and in His Word. That's it. And I'm not running off on every tangent or everything that comes up. And I don't condemn those things. I mean, that's fine. But the thing that I found at last is the Word of Jesus Christ. That's stable, and I can trust in that. America is not our home. You need to remember that. This is not our home. We are not, we may have citizenship here, but this is not our, citizenship is inscribed in the annals of heaven.
That's right.
In the book of life. And that's who we are, and we need to remember that. And that depending on this world to give us joy. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is a new Mercedes, a new Ferrari, a Maserati, or a new house, or whatever, diamonds, or whatever it is that turns you on. That's happiness. But joy is knowing God, trusting Him in any and every situation. I've never seen anyone who was sorry that they were a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Although I've seen some sorry believers. That's another story. Remember that political parties are not our source of righteousness.
That's right.
We don't gain anything from the Republican Party or the Democrat Party or the Independent Party or the, who knows, maybe the new Trump Party for all I know. That is not my source nor my well of joy or peace. I find peace only at the cross. And the worst days I've been in, and I've been in some tough ones, in the worst days, Pat and I have always huddled at the cross. Always at the cross. Always at the cross. Always at the cross. And if you go any place other than the cross, you will suffer anguish, disappointment, and the feeling that is running rampant in our world today. I've told you COVID brought us fear. The election ignited the fear like it was a fuel. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to recently that feel the same way. Just feel despondent. You know, what are we going to do, Pastor? What do we do? Where do we go from here? Well, I'm going from the place I never left. I'm sticking with what I know. Let me tell you a couple of things, all right? First of all, the church exists in two realities. Let's look at Hebrews. We're going to stay in Hebrews for a little while. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. But if you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, you know there's a difference between Zion and Sinai.
Yes.
One place was the law, the other is grace. All right? And so that's where we go. We go to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. That's who we are. Now, we do live in this world. Unfortunately, some have born here. Others have a long history back to the Mayflower that have been here forever. Others like Miss Rose and myself, our ancestors, not too far away, just one generation, came over here in a boat. You know, and it's great. I love America. I don't want to be any place. I don't even like to travel outside of America. I have, and I don't like it. I like to be home, sweet home. But I was reborn in the kingdom because I didn't find the joy and the hope and the peace that I needed in the world. And I'm not going to go through my testimony today, but I had all the dreams that I hoped for. I had just about reached them all. I did things to... It's impossible. If you knew me and where I came up, I came up in poverty, no education. My mother had an eighth grade education, I believe seventh or eighth. My dad had a fourth grade education. My dad worked in a factory, a sweatshop. He wouldn't even let me go in a sweatshop. The temperatures where he worked used to get up around 130 degrees. Oh. Manufacturing roofing materials. He had these big boilers running all the time. I mean, it was a horrible place to be. He came home from work. His hands were like gravel. It was so hard from the work that he did. My dad believed in the hope of America. He believed in education. And he worked really, really hard to give me an education. And he told me 1,000 times, son, you can do better than I have. And I did. I surpassed everything my dad ever even dreamed of in life. But at the top of my game, I was at the bottom of my life. Because something was wrong. The right political party, the right job, the right accolades, the right commendations didn't do it. And I discovered in 1972 Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, Miss Rose, washed me, cleansed me. And from that day on August the 8th, 1972, on a Tuesday, 1:30 in the afternoon in Picayune, Mississippi, it's etched in my brain forever and ever. Is where I changed. And I discovered the secret the universe is searching for. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do in our life and change it. And that's the hope that we have. I've got something here. Some of you may have heard this and maybe not. Probably not. I was really encouraged by it when my son-in-law became a United States citizen. And we went to his... time of being sworn in and naturalization. And there's an oath that everyone who comes into this nation takes. I think everybody ought to take this oath, whether you came in as an immigrant or you were born here. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I want to read a little bit. It says, I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and deny all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereign, of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or a citizen. And then it goes on, it closes with this. I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. So help me God. I think we ought to use this in the church. We renounce the world and all that's in it. And all the things we followed in the political parties and whoever's in the White House or wherever it is. And I take this obligation, this church thing, freely without any mental reservations or purpose of evasion. So help me God. I think it might change us a little bit. Our ability to vote... our responsibility to defend the Constitution, our responsibility to obey the laws of this land, our responsibility to serve in the armed forces, are all in the words that are used when a person comes into this nation. I have told you, those of you who have been listening, for years that we are at war. Not everybody believes me. But the war still rages. And because we didn't believe and we didn't get on the front lines, we now suffer the consequences of not doing that.
That's right.
America's what it is because we let it become what it is. When I say we, I'm talking about the church. Talking about us. America is supposed to defend our lives, our liberty, and our pursuit of happiness, provide safety, peace, and a safe environment. When Israel, let me go back to them for a minute, when they fail to honor God, they were punished, and only a remnant remained. Go read your Old Testament. Go see what happens to people who turn away from God. Don't get angry with me, but I'm going to just tell you the truth as I understand it. This nation called America will fall into the ashes of the earth and be a footnote in history if the Lord tarries, if she keeps going the same direction she's going. We're walking off a cliff. You talk about sheep to the slaughter. A lot of people feel that way. And I pray that doesn't happen. I really do. And I work hard to see that doesn't happen. I'm a busy boy trying to work to keep America going in the right direction. But I'd rather see America fall and the people of America be saved than to have what we have now and not have the power of people being saved. Another nation will rise up. If our government falls, somebody else wants this place. This is a nice place to have. It's got a lot of rich resources, and that's exactly what's happening. The ungodly want it, and the same people that fought against people around the world forever that drove them to the shores for religious freedom.
Yes.
That was the primary thing they came here for. That's why they came. When Israel failed to serve God, their cities laid in waste. Go read Isaiah chapter 6. Their cities laid in waste, and they were carried off to foreign lands. We are citizens of heaven, and our allegiance is to God, first of all. And if you lose track of that, you will be miserable no matter what's going on in our world. Our allegiance is to God. When America fails, it's the church's fault. I'm serious about that. The church has been sitting on its pews and letting things happen and not getting involved. If you love America, listen to me. If you're out there on these cameras, I'm looking at you too. If you love America and you care about America, get off your duff and get involved.
Amen.
Become an act. Don't just sit or thank you for an amen. You're doing good. Thank you. Thank you. I got two big amens up here in the front from Becky. We need to be involved. Now, the most distasteful thing on the planet for me to be involved in is politics. I don't like it. I don't like the game. I don't like the way it works. I find it highly distasteful. So it's my job to try to encourage you to be crazy enough to get involved. Now, I have been involved, and they threw me out. I guess they didn't like me. I was appointed to the Slidell Civil Service Board for the police department, where I served for 8 years until they threw me out. They didn't throw me out exactly. It's a long story. I don't know what you want to talk about. They made a change, and I was surplused. But I was happy. I wasn't going to quit, and so they changed it. But it's a nasty business, politics. It's nasty business. We had a man who used to come to our church who was part of the Bartholomew administration in New Orleans. And he was high ranking in a good position. And I asked him why he quit. And he's a good Christian man. And he said, because I didn't want to go to jail. I said, what? He said, because I didn't want to go to jail. I said, why would you go to jail? He said, every day, not some days, but every day, somebody came to me and offered me something in exchange for my influence. He said, I turned them down. He said, but I knew one day somebody was going to offer me something so big that I wouldn't be able to turn it down. I'd end up in jail. That's the political arena. It's favors. It's power. That's the thing. That's what's going on. And so the church needs to be involved. I was on that civil service board for 8 years, and I made a difference. I was a lonely voice many times, but I made a difference. You can make a difference. The church's duty is to bring Christ to the nation. Pat and I have been talking about this, and I'm not going to mention anything today, but I just tell you that we're talking about doing some things that maybe would help you and help others to do a better job. We've just gotten used to great music. No, this is not anything that's negative about you, but we've gotten used to singing the songs of Zion and not marching off to do something. You know, we got used to hearing nice sermons. Remember, he that tooteth not his own horn, sometimes it be tooteth not. You know? They're getting used to it, and it's great. I mean, but if you don't get encouraged to get out and do something, I'm a sounding gong, a tinkling cymbal. You know, there's nothing. The church allowed our government to go off the rails. You know, everybody's, I want to choose my words carefully. Everybody's distressed and upset about what happened in Washington, D.C. this week. You know, the people went into the Capitol. First of all, I don't believe the people that broke into the Capitol were Trump supporters. I believe they were antagonists paid for by the money in this country, and those were some of Antifa and Antifa-like people that went in. I know the people who are Trump supporters, and they're not doing that. But I applaud the people that went. I mean, get up there and make some noise, and they went. People were there with their flags and their banners and their, at least they're making a difference. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'd make a guess that the vast majority of those people were good church people. There's a connection between God and the people who are real big Trump supporters. Not all, but a good portion of them. John Adams, one of my heroes, made a statement that's still true. Our nation is only made fit, it's only fit, the government that they gave us for a moral people. And the morals of our nation are unconscionable. Pat and I have gotten so, we can't go to movies anymore. And we try to find stuff on TV to find. We found a cute little serial that was on Netflix or YouTube, or not YouTube, but something. And we were watching. It was kind of cute, this little girl, and she got a job in Paris, and you know, it was real cute. I guess that lasted about 15 minutes. They had the most unconscionable thing. I'm not even going to tell you what it was. I don't even tell you. You will never find it. I pray it gets burned off the internet. The most terrible thing I've ever imagined on TV in my house. And I'm trying to get it off as quick as I could. I mean, that's our world. I've got the good sense to turn it off, but not everybody does. You want to know why we've got so many abortions? It's because we've got so many unmarried people getting pregnant. When we threw the Bible out of school, we took the prayer out of school, and when sexual activity became the norm, to just sleep with whoever you want to, just do whatever you want to do. If it feels good, do it. The train was on a train track back in the 60s. I was sort of a child of the 60s. Fortunately, I had a good upbringing. I didn't come up to church, but I had good parents that taught me enough good things not to get involved in that kind of crazy stuff. But all of that is festered like a cancer that is metastasized into our society. And what is allowed today, you know, they have these PG movies or PG-13 movies. You know, you think that would be something good to see? That would have been X-rated movies back in the 50s.
Right.
The language that's used, just unconscionable. I don't want to go there. But I just want to kind of paint the picture for you. We shouldn't weep because Trump lost the election. We should weep because of a godless nation that let it happen. We just let it happen. The secular church has no backbone. The secular church has allowed immorality to exist in the church. I'm not going to go through, you know the stories. I'm not here to do that. The secular church has become tainted. In fact, it's worse than salt that lost its flavor. Just worthy to be thrown out and trampled on. There are churches like this one. We're not a perfect church. We don't have perfect people. You don't have a perfect pastor. But there are a lot of churches just like ours, but we're a minority.
What?
A minority? We're just a small segment of the church at large. A lot of the big churches are just so secular. And that's part of the problem. The church was created to remain unshaken when the world shakes. What we ought to be doing, instead of having a pity party, the church ought to be running to grab its weapons. Get our spiritual weapons, not our muskets. It may come to that, I pray not. Hebrews 12:27. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaking. That is created things. I love it when the Bible explains itself, because you're wondering about it. That what can be shaken is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. That is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will remain until God sees fit to take the church out of here. And then what happens after that, I don't know. But I won't be here, so I don't care. Hebrews 12:28-29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So what we ought to be doing is being thankful and worship God with reverence. We ought to be sticking with the program, sticking with God, trusting God. Our nation is undergoing a paradigm shift towards destruction, but the church will not be shaken and the church will not be destroyed. There will always be a remnant of people who rise up and say, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's always a group. It's always been that way. And it's the remnant that is blossomed under the husbandship of God Almighty to grow and produce good fruit so attractive that the world comes. Because the world finds out pretty quick that when they get shaken, they ain't gonna like it. They don't like it. The first century church withstood Rome and religious persecution, and we must stand firm and not be shaken. And it's time for us to be bold. Your neighbors, your kids, your grandkids, your brothers and sisters who don't know God are shaken. I'm talking about down here in the good old South, a lot of conservative people around the country, not just the South. They're shaking, they're stunned. I thought I'd be a boxer one time in my life, and I've told the story before, and I got in the ring for my first fight. The guy hit me so hard, I was shaking, I was stunned, I was on my back. I was laying down, looking up. I took the gloves off and quit. I only had one fight. That's it. I didn't like that. But I'm saying that we ought to stand up and be the church. Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote a song many years ago called the Church Triumphant. I was searching for the word. You ought to find that song and listen to it about the church and how it survives. It's kind of a little mini history and song of how the church survives the hard things of life. We will survive. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that you're part of the church. If you were lost and didn't know God, I'd say, man, you're in trouble. But for the church, we're okay.
That's right.
We'll be okay. But we would need to be better than okay. We need to be victorious by doing what needs to be done. Don't let the shaking of America shake you. Sure, it's a body blow. It was a body blow to all of us. But it didn't, you know, it took me that long to get over it. I'm not going to lay there in the ground and wallow in self-pity about who's in the White House or who's not in the White House.
That's right.
I'm concerned about where I live. You know, I said you get the kind of people in office that reflects the people. I want you to look around at what we have in Slidell. Godly mayor, godly district attorney, godly coroner, godly sheriff, godly chief of police, godly council people. I know these people. They are godly people who would be comfortable in this church. They could preach this sermon. And that's who we voted in office. You know why? Because that's the tempo and the temperament of Slidell and St. Tammany. Is it perfect? No. But it's perfect enough to get the right people in office, and we enjoy it.
Yes.
We enjoy the benefits of that. People left nations to come to America. Question is, where can we go? There's no America to go to. It's here. We need to make something of what we got or cash in the chips. Well, we make America better by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what makes America great.
That's right.
Barack Obama said, we're no longer a Christian nation. Well, he was more right than I wanted him to be.
Yeah.
It's true. We've got a form of religion, but we deny the power of God. So we need to rise up, be strong. Last week I told you about getting dressed in the full armor of God. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. And I don't want to show hands, all right? So nobody raise your hand. But let me ask you a question. How many people have you led to the Lord? How many? How many people have you discipled? How many people have you as an individual done that with? What we do is we sparse and parse out Christian rhetoric, but we never get involved in helping someone come to the Lord. And don't use this excuse. Well, Pastor, that's not my ministry. It's all of our ministry.
Amen.
And if we don't tell people about how to get in the kingdom, they're not going to get it. Thank goodness the day I got saved, James Walter Hinton led me to the Lord. He didn't just tell me about forgiveness. He didn't just tell me about God. He didn't tell me that God, just tell me that God loved me. He asked me the question that put me on the spot. Would you like to receive Christ into your life today? Now. And I told him, I want to think about it. And he was bold enough. I'd never met this man before. He was bold enough that he had just quoted John 3:16 and he quoted John 3:18. He said that those that believe not, the wrath of God abides on them. Well, that got my attention. I didn't know God had a wrath. I didn't know. And people don't know, and they need to know. You need to make a decision for Christ. You need to follow him. You need to be a disciple. You need to be an evangelist.
Yes.
You need to see yourself as called by God and appointed by God to do the work of the kingdom. Because if we don't, there won't be an America. You want to stop immorality and adultery and fornication and homosexuality? You want to stop all that stuff? You want to clean up the TV programs? You want to change the movies? Get people saved and see what they do. People who get saved and are discipled and learn about the ways of God change their actions. I'm going to say it again. If you change the way people think, you change what they believe. You change what they believe, you'll change the way they act.
That's right. Amen.
That's a truism. That's a fact, Jack. It's true. But just wishing it won't happen, just hoping somebody does it won't happen. One of the things I don't like about being a pastor is people have expectations of me when they hear me speak. Well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to talk about God and all that stuff. No, what you say here used to be in the computer business. And Pat will tell you, she's with me through it all. I'm the same guy at work that I am right here. Nothing different. I just don't speak as loudly. I led more people to Christ outside the church than I ever have inside the church. Because people didn't expect it. I was a computer guy. I didn't even have a name. I used to go into hotels and restaurants around the country and install the computer software. And when I worked, and I was always known, the computer guy. Don Morales knows about that. He was a copy guy. Xerox guy. You know, you don't have names. But I probably ought to write a book about all the stuff that happened through the years. It's the little things. It's the little things. But people are hungry and hurting, and we have the answers. And they don't look like it. That's the amazing part. They look just perfectly fine. I'm going to repeat a story that I've told before, but it's a landmark story. It deserves to be repeated. I was in a hotel working, and I was in what they call the bullpen right behind the front desk where it's all nice and pretty at a hotel. But behind that is chaos.
Oh,
and everybody's working, and adding machines and computers and all that. And this beautiful young woman, probably 23, maybe 24, dressed very nicely. She worked at the front desk, and so she dressed very nicely, a little uniform. And she came through the door into the bullpen, and she used the most foul language I've ever heard a woman use. I mean, the big no-no words. And about one of the guests. And I was sitting a little, maybe 15 feet away from that door she came in. And I was working. And it caught me so off guard, and I didn't think about it. I just said, whoa, what's a beautiful young woman like you doing using that kind of foul language? Well, boy, what she said didn't stop the group, but what I said brought silence. About 25 people just stopped and got frozen. It's frozen in what they were doing. And since I had an audience, I said, you know, God loves you and God cares about you and God doesn't want you to like that. But when I mentioned God, and she spun around and went to the door. She'd rather face the guest than face what I had just said. And she went in there, and I thought, then I thought, I hope I didn't overspeak. I was a guest there, you know, in terms they were paying me to be there and working for them. And about 20 minutes later, I had my head down to work and I felt a tap on my shoulder. Turned around and said, girl, I thought. She said, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. And so there was a little vacant office down the hallway, and I went down the office with her. She started crying. I mean, just crying uncontrollably. She said, my life is such a wreck. She said, they've taken my baby away from me, you know, and I don't know what to do. And my mother keeps telling me about God and praying for me. And I said, can you help me? So you know what I did? I told her the same thing I tell anybody else. I said, the story about for all of sin and come fall short of the glory of God. You know, about Jesus' love and what he did and forgiveness. And then I did for her what somebody did for me. I said, would you like to ask Christ into your life right now? And she said, yes.
And I prayed with her, just a little simple prayer. I was up there about maybe about a week and a half longer. Every time I saw that girl, she was beaming like a neon light. And she'd wink at me, just wave at me. She was so excited. And she told me that she'd gone to talk to her mother and told her what happened to her. And I don't know the end of the story, but that's the story. But you see, just being light and salt in the world when people are hurting, and they are hurting, and if we're just bold enough just to mention it to them, that there's hope and there's help. We need to be like Esther. We need to see ourselves as someone born for such a time as this. You have been born for such a time as this. You are here so that you can make a difference in the world that we're in right now.
Yes.
I'd venture a guess that 80% of the people in Slidell and St. Tammany, and those are in your communities, wherever you are despondent beyond measure. They don't know what to do. And we can tell them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on the pinheads in Washington, D.C. You know, don't trust your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will give you peace, direct your path, give you life, give you hope, give you joy, give you a good life. We just need to do it. We need to be, they're ready. Jesus said the fields are white. They're ready for a harvest. And we just need some folks to get out in the field. I'm not asking you to go stand on the street corner with a sign. I'm just asking you just to consider being an activist for Christ. And wherever you are in your daily life, the church was created to minister hope to the world. Hebrews 13, 1 through 3. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who were mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Let me assume for a minute, and this is an assumption, I don't have any proof beyond measure, but let me just assume for a minute that God's judgment is coming on America, and then it started. Let me just assume that. I know we don't like to hear that, okay? We're a lot of premillennial thinking out here, you know, pre-trib thinking out here. Well, we won't be here for all the hard stuff. You know, God's going to take us out of here. Well, I'm not so sure about that. But that's another story. But America will wake up when judgment falls. When socialism, everybody finds out that there's not enough money for everybody to be on the land. You know, there's just not enough money. And when they find out it doesn't work, when they find out that Joe Biden and his cabinet is not going to bring them hope. When you finally learn, by the way, that Facebook and Twitter and Dither and everybody else out there will slit your throat for a dollar bill. They will cut you off. They've already cut me off. And I've told you about it when it happened. They didn't like what I had to say in my letters and newsletters. And it took me forever to get back on. They just cut the president off. They cut off the president of the United States, for goodness sakes, off of a public account. That's like randomly going out and saying, well, we don't like the way you do things. We'll just shut off your electricity and your water and just let you sit there and mope. That's what they did. They're public entities. Well, I showed them. I had a Twitter account that I didn't use very much, but I went and canceled it anyway. Huh? Permanently did it. I can't even get back into it. And I got serious. I don't know what the word to use. I'm concerned as to whether or not I should keep supporting Facebook and YouTube and the rest of them, because I don't like their management. And I don't like what they do. And yet we're on them right now. You're watching. If you're on Facebook, you're watching me right now. Turn that camera back on me so you can see me. My smiling face. You know, and there are some other places I can go to, and I'm seriously considering it. So I'll let you know what I decide. But I'll tell you where I am, okay, in case you need to look for me. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. Sow to the spirit, you reap of the spirit. The world is sowing, America is sowing to the flesh. They're going to reap it. They're going to reap it. Now, let me tell you what we can do. We can rejoice when they fall, or we can go help them get up.
That's it. Amen.
What are you going to do? You know, say, well, about time that happened to you. You deserve it. That's what you wanted. That's what you get. Well, that's not our job.
No.
Our job is to go out and try to help.
Amen.
You know, the scripture, you know, show hospitality.
Yeah.
Be open to them. You're never going to change anybody's life with vitriol and hatred and foul language and I told you so type stuff. You win people back by loving them in the midst of their own poverty and distress and hurt. The day will come. We offer them an olive branch instead of punishment when they fall. Jesus is the branch. You know the scripture talks about Jesus is the branch? We offer them that branch. Offer them. Help. Let me help you get up. Let me give you some good news. The economy falls and people are broke. Can't pay the note on their house. Can't pay for their taxes. All of that stuff. It can happen. It will happen. Things don't change. We need to be ready to receive those who have no hope and no place to turn. We are Father waiting for the prodigal son to come home. That's who we are. That boy came in trouble, and his dad, you know, I'm not godly, but I might have said, well, about time you spent all my money, and, you know, you get out of here, just go wherever you came from. But he wouldn't even let the boy tell him what he did wrong. The boy had his speech, you know, Father, I've done this, I've done that, and he just grabbed him. It says that the old man ran, wrapped his arms around that boy and spun him around. The original language says he held on to him. He was holding on to him. And he tells everybody, kill the fatted calf. That which is lost has been found. My son, your brother, is home.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. That's how we need to be. We need to be Joseph waiting for his brothers.
Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you what. You talk about in big trouble when those boys showed up where Joseph was after what they did to him. They left him for dead. They sold him into slavery. They tore his clothes. They lied to his daddy and sent him off to hell, if you will, on earth. But God had a plan. And God raised Joseph up and Joseph got saved, if you will, to use New Testament theology. And when his brothers showed up, when they figured out, they were scared, but what did he do? He hugged them and loved them and told them, look, that was you intended for evil. God intended for good. God set me on ahead to help you today. That's who we are. We're the Joseph. We're thinking of yourself as a Joseph, or Josephine, if you like, as my mother's middle name. We are Jesus extending the invitation to the weary to come home. That's right over my head. It says, come home, all is forgiven. See, God cares about the world. He cares about people. He cares about liberals and people like AOC and others that run chills down your spine. You know, he cares about them. Thank God, God didn't give up on you. Where would you be?
That's true.
He didn't give up on you. Well, just because you're in the land of plenty, don't think you got to hoard it for yourself. Give it out. Give out freedom and hope and salvation to those who are in judgment and weary. The church can't weep over fallen Babylon / America, but we must be searching for survivors. There's a great scene in the movie The Titanic. And if you've seen the movie, there's several versions of it, but, you know, the Titanic's going down, the people are in freezing water, and one of the boats that had gotten away and had some of the crewmen in it, they went back looking for life, looking for people to rescue in the frozen water. Most of them they couldn't rescue, but they found a few. Maybe that's the same thing for us. We go on a rescue trip. We might find a few. We might not be able to save everyone. I can tell you this about personal experience in my own personal life. Everyone that I ever spoke to about Jesus Christ on a one-to-one basis came to salvation of the Lord. And those who turned me down, in God's great humor, he put them to work in the kingdom later. And a guy told me flat no that he wasn't interested in what I had to offer. He came to church the next Sunday, and when he got to church, he got saved. And a week later, he got called in the ministry. So far as I know, and I've lost track of him, he's still pastor of church.
Wow.
So even if they tell you no, don't think that's the end of it. Because God is at work. You can't get away from the Holy Spirit when he starts running you down. The church can't leave the walls where we sound the alarm, and we can't close the gates to the kingdom. We got to open them wide. Come on in. I mean, how happy would you be if you found out that Pastor Jeffries from First Baptist Church in Dallas, who's a friend of Donald Trump, went to see Joe Biden and led him to the Lord?
Wow. I'd love it.
Jeff, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be great news? Hope somebody will go. Why not you? You never know what God has in store for you. We fail to keep evil from destroying our nation, but we can be the rescue ship looking for survivors. That's our job. So let's bandage each other's wounds, okay? Let's encourage one another. That's one thing I love about the church. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen on Facebook and Twitter and other places. You got to get together. And I know people are afraid of COVID and all that stuff. You know, we're doing everything we can here to make it safe, as safe as possible. And go get the vaccine. Get yourself vaccinated, you know, so you can be in the kingdom. I'm going to get it. I just tell you, I'm going. In fact, I'm rushing it up because I'm a first responder with the coroner's office. There's a chaplain, Pat and I. And I got word to the coroner and asked if he could let the chaplains get it. And they said, yeah. And I think we're going to get the vaccine this week. That's what they told me. I'm going to get it. Don't believe all the stories you've heard about it at the negative. I've talked to medical people that I know. It's not all true. We've had a lot of stuff put out that's just not true. And to tell you the truth, if it kills me, I'll see you in glory. You can say, oh, Pastor Morris, he did that, and look what happened to him. I'm going to get it. You know why? Because if I have the vaccine, I can go more places. I don't want to be afraid of giving somebody something or getting something myself. Now, I know we say, well, don't you trust God? Well, of course I trust God. But I got insurance on my house and my car. You know, God gave me a brain. You know, I take medicine. I get a headache, I take an aspirin. I had open heart surgery. I could have said, well, God's going to heal me. I'd be dead. I cried. I went to a doctor when I lost my arm. I got hurt in the boat. I used medical help. I'm not afraid of medicine. Get flu shots, shingle shots. And this, I think a lot of, it's just my opinion. I reserve the right to be wrong, but I think there's a lot of fake news going on about the vaccine. And so that's just my opinion. Everybody's got to make their own decision. It's your body. You choose for your body what's right for you. But for me and my house, we're going to be vaccinated. I probably lost some of you when I told you that, but that's okay. But let's be willing to go into the kingdom, as the kingdom, to go into the world, try to rescue as many as we can to bring them to a place of safety. Let me get back to the vaccine for just 1 minute. I want to put a period on that conversation. This coming Tuesday, the Slidell Ministers Association, I've asked Dr. Preston, our coroner, to give us a medical understanding. He's a brilliant guy. I spent a lot of time with him. He's a brilliant guy, medical man. He's a great Christian. He's going to come and speak to the Slidell Ministers about the vaccine and what he knows about it from a medical perspective. And I'm going to make a recording of that, maybe a video, and I'll see if I can get it to you so you can hear it. I'm going to try to do that one way or the other. So next week, God willing, and I don't know the way things happen. I may not even get back to it. I want to go back to the fasting, and I want to talk about the spiritual blessings that are ours because we fast, okay? And but if something happens between now and then, that I need to turn around and address it, I'll be glad to do that. I did get my black robot and started shaking the dust off of it in case I need to bring it back in here in the months and weeks ahead. I invite you to come pray with us on Wednesday if you can. If you can't, come anyway. All right? And just join us in prayer. We're fasting and praying and giving. I don't mind asking you to pray. To fast or to give, because that's what Jesus did. Good enough for him is good enough for me. I hope this has encouraged you. I thought about it before I changed my gears to bring this to you. I want you to be built up on your faith. I want you to be willing to be used, a vessel that would use you. Try praying this prayer during the fast. Lord, what would you have me to do? That's what Isaiah said. Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, here am I, send me. Pray about it, and maybe God speaks to you. Maybe you'll all become evangelists. I'll ordain you. I got the power to do that. So I give you papers if you need them. But you don't. Okay, let's all stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And thank you for being here today. I thank those who have tuned in to on that Facebook. YouTube and all the other places you may be, I hope the message comes through loud and clear. Father, we thank you and rejoice in you in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, if I said anything here today that's not of you, let those words fall to the ground, be dust under our feet, and be trampled and shaken off. And anything I've said that is of you, Lord, let it produce good fruit, let it be implanted in our spirit. And Father, let us follow you. Father, I pray that you'd speak to everyone in the sound of my voice, that they would hear your voice, not mine, and that you would speak to them. Father, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed wherever you go. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. His power and his presence be upon you, and that you will have peace and joy in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.